Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How's it going? How's your week been?
It's been interesting, actually. It's sort of quieting down now a little bit after the Apple event. So we're at this strange point in the rumor cycle where we can't quite get excited about the October event yet, but we're kind of over everything from the September event.
But we're in October, though, so we should start getting ramped up for the October event.
Soon, I think we will. Soon, we will start to get those last-minute rumors. I will say that of what we are expecting for at least the Macs, it is not particularly exciting.
No, it could all be an email for sure.
it's reminding me of the October event last year, which was one of the smallest, most low-key events. I think it was probably the smallest event I've ever seen in terms of what they announced. I remember finishing that event and thinking, why did they actually record a whole event for this?
Wasn't it like 2 a.m. for you?
Yeah, it was also at peculiar timing, but I think that's because Apple knew that it was not a big deal. All it was the M3 Pro and M3 Max MacBook Pros, the M3 iMac, and was there one other one that I've forgotten about? Where was one other Mac?
Not that I can remember.
Well, it can't have been very exciting if you can't remember. But they were not redesigned devices. They were just chip refreshes. So I think this year should be slightly more exciting because we've got the redesigned Mac Mini, which is a substantial redesign. And M4 should now be able to lean into Apple intelligence capabilities far more because, of course, they've been announced this time around. So are we going to get some Mac-exclusive Apple intelligence capabilities? There is more that is potentially a little bit exciting with this event. But what I suppose I'm referring to when I talk about last-minute rumors over the next 4 weeks or so are the things that are not Mac-related. So are we going to get a new Apple TV? Are we going to get a new entry-level iPad? Those things are a little bit more interesting to me. The iPad mini as well.
Yeah, I guess we could save that for once the episode or once the event is coming up, we can do a little episode on that. But right now, it like you said, it's kind of dying down a little bit, but we did get some interesting information for a new product that should be coming sooner than we expected. So I think we talked about the whole robotic, you know, arm attached to a screen, which was like a HomePod kind of like all-in-one device, and it would be able to move around and follow you. But then there's been rumors recently about a new smart home accessory that could feature, which I don't know if this is still going to stay this way, but a squarish display, which is intriguing because I don't think there are any displays from Apple that are square, right? I'm trying
to
think.
Well, I guess other than the Apple Watch.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, there. Well, you got me there, but I'm thinking larger
well, I
screens.
Mean,
yeah.
Series 9 and earlier, they were not particularly squarish, but with the Series 10, it's pretty square.
More thinking larger screen, squarish, like iPad-like smart display. It's pretty much same concept as the higher-end robotic one, but this is supposed to be more of that lower-end version of that and something that should be able to come out and what people are thinking is next year, because we're seeing this accessory, which is internally called Home Accessory. Really creative name there by the employees.
Very imaginative.
So apparently this has been referenced in some code and that it might feature an A18 chip. And so if it's featuring a chip that's already out, one would assume that it's not going to be held for very long, right?
I assume so. I mean, it's hard to tell really what direction this device is going to take because it doesn't really need to be very powerful.
No.
If it is just going to run basic Apple apps, I mean, we're not expecting it necessarily to have an app store. I assume it probably will, but some of the apps that were mentioned in the report were obviously the Home app, but other things like Calendar and Notes, I assume maybe Apple TV Plus as well. But you really do not need a particularly powerful chip for that. But for Apple Intelligence, you will need at least 8 gigabytes of memory. So I don't know if this is a really good fit for latest generation chips, but I suppose it all depends on timing, because if we don't see this first device until late next year, by which time we are on to the A19 in the iPhone 17, throwing an A18 maybe won't seem so out of place.
I hope it's coming soon. I think we need like a splash into that Home ecosystem a little bit more. Like, the HomePods are good. They're good products. They sound great. But like, they don't do anything. They certainly don't do anything at this current moment in time any better than, you know, Google Home or Google Assistant, you know, integrated speaker, or Amazon's Alexa integrated speaker. There's so many different variations of them out there. I'm sure you can find one that sounds just as good. And then with that ecosystem and that, you know, powerful assistant built in, can do so much more. So getting something with the display running, it seems like it's going to run a combination of like tvOS, I guess. So with this display, is it just going to be kind of like a half-baked Apple TV kind of thing, where you can have other features like FaceTime, and would you be able to watch content on it? I think that'd be kind of cool if it's something in your, you know, kitchen set up to where if you want to toss on an Apple TV show or whatever the case may be, so there could be an app store in there, download YouTube, whatever. Like, that would be cool. Like, I it's not groundbreaking, but it's something new for Apple, and it would be nice to see an entirely new product category again. I know we just got Vision Pro, so it's not like we were,
I think it's a little bit more of a practical product category.
Yeah.
And effectively, Apple already has that segment. So you can go on Apple's website and look at their Home segment, which includes the HomePod Mini, the HomePod, and the Apple TV, which is... It is its own family of products. And one thing that not a lot of people realize about those products as they stand today is they all run the same OS. When the HomePod originally launched, it ran a version of iOS. But somewhere along the line, I can't remember how many years ago it was, HomePod OS basically became based on tvOS rather than iOS. So they are the same system. And I assume that going forward, what we are expecting to be called Home OS is what tvOS will become. I think tvOS probably will be left behind, and we will have this single operating system that runs across both HomePods, the Apple TV, and these two upcoming smart home devices. And I think that's really exciting, actually, because we've talked a lot about what we would like tvOS to be able to do, and it seems like tvOS never quite gets enough love compared to where we would like to see it go. Well, I think this is the way that it will be revitalized, because suddenly it will be a more scalable OS depending on which device you're using it on. It will need to be capable of very simple tasks without a screen when you're using the HomePod. It will need to be able to display content and access streaming content very easily on the Apple TV. But then it will also need to be good at things like easy FaceTime calls and checking your calendar on this countertop device as well. And I think that approaching how you would need to interact with that device is quite interesting as well, because of course that's voice, touch, and also with a remote.
Right.
And where with something like iOS, even with iPadOS and iOS, I know you've got the Apple Pencil and you've got the Magic Keyboard with the trackpad now, but basically it's all optimized for touch. So it's quite straightforward. The same with Mac OS, even the same with Vision OS. But having an OS that needs to have input that is really fast and really versatile, I think is quite interesting, especially when we consider that Apple Intelligence is apparently going to be at the core.
Yeah. I mean, when I say that, you know, it's running off of tvOS, which is what, but like, this is a visual thing now. We're adding a visual element to this. it's no longer just a smart speaker. So like when we think about it, my initial mind is like, well, what is the home screen layout going to look like? Is it going to be more of that tvOS? Is it going to be is it going to borrow elements from iPadOS? Is it just going to be a mesh? Is it going to be something different? Like, that's the exciting part for me.
I think it's got to be something different, because if it is just a grid of apps like the iPad, that is not helpful, considering that this is a device that is just supposed to provide you with information in passing. You don't sit down to use it. So it wouldn't make sense for it to have a home screen like that. Mm-hmm. What makes sense is widgets, and a little bit more like what we get with standby mode on the iPhone. But then you also obviously need to have a way that you can access apps easily. So I'm just, this is just a complete guess, sure, but I would assume that we're going to get something like widgets at the top that are a little bit like the smart stack on Apple Watch, where it surfaces whatever is displaying with live activities. So mm-hmm. if you're listening to a podcast, a huge podcast widget displays at the top, and then maybe you have a little dock of apps, a small selection of things that it can run that you can instantly jump into without needing to navigate to an app library or something like that.
I don't love this squarish display rumor, because like thinking about it, that's going to be weird. Like, how are the apps going to kind of conform to that? Like, is this stuff that's going to be, you know, built off of, like I said, borrowing from tvOS and like iPadOS framework? Is it going to be something that developers have to build entirely differently for these apps? I'll be curious to see how that works. And also, when I think about all of this, is this something that gets announced at WWDC? So that, 'cause if it does need an entirely different dedication for developers, and like, you know, someone else has to write a new app, or even if it doesn't, Apple loves to do that. How many times have they announced something and they're like, oh, all you got to do is just click a button and you don't even have to do a new app. We'll take care of it. It'll be optimized. So they could still save it for then and use that as a talking point as well. But I just don't love the squarish design idea. And I know in the article, I think it says that like it's not completely confirmed that that's what it's going to be. Who knows if that design gets retained? But like in my mind, yeah, I don't want to sit at my kitchen counter and watch content on it. But like if I wanted to throw something up there, if you're getting information, it's probably a little bit better to see it in a little bit of a slightly larger rectangular display, that 16:9 ratio that we're used to, as opposed to something square. Or am I overthinking it?
I agree with you in one way, which is if you're watching content, that will not be a good experience.
No, it'd be bad.
But if this device is not meant for watching content, if right. it is just intended to glance at information for a short period of time. So if this is, say it's meant to live on your kitchen countertop, you're not really going to stand leaning over your countertop watching something. So I understand that that is maybe the drawback, but I think there are two advantages to giving it a square display. The first is that it will take up far less space on a countertop, because that is where width is essential, really. I mean, my kitchen here is pretty small. I've got one extended piece of countertop over one wall, so I don't have very much countertop. If I had a wide display there, that was the size of, say, like a 13-inch iPad Pro, that would be quite considerable. And the idea of it just being that little bit slimmer would make quite a big difference to me and my willingness to have that out.
I would say like iPad mini or maybe like the 11-inch at most. I don't think it needs to be that big.
I think that it needs to be big enough that you don't need to kind of go super close to it, that you can see it in passing. So it would, the widgets and things that will need to be visible at a distance. So I think that is why you would need that. And also, I think that a lot of the things that you would want to look at on it, so say you do want to look at your calendar on it, well, that is something where actually you do want vertical height. The same if you're looking at a checklist of notes or even if you think of something like a FaceTime call, that actually is completely okay with a square display. I mean, how many times have you answered a FaceTime call on your iPad only to have a really narrow view of someone because they've answered it on their iPhone? So I understand why that would be the case practically, but I also think there is a massive marketing and design advantage to doing that as well, which is that it clearly is not an iPad. And I think that it will look more like a home device. It will look more different ultimately than just an iPad on your countertop. It will look like that home thing and will be normalized as that device. And it's easy to underestimate how important those sorts of things are, but Apple loves their customers to associate design with a particular product line. So for example, we've seen that with the home button, and the home button became the notch, and the notch became the dynamic island. And in all of their silhouettes, those little design details have always been really prominent. Likewise, if you see a little outline of an iPad, you absolutely know that is an iPad, not an iPhone, because of the aspect ratio. Mm-hmm. So likewise, if you see a little square and you know that's a square display, then you know that that is a home device. And when you walk into the Apple store, you haven't got people walking over to the home devices thinking, well, what iPad is this? Mm-hmm. Because it just would look significantly different.
You mean home accessory?
Home accessory, yes.
I wonder what they would even name this.
It's hard to say. I mean, if they're going for Home OS, what about something like HomePad?
HomePad? That's so bad, but also so good.
I mean, you could see it. Yeah. It's got to be Home something.
Here's my thing. I get what you're saying, and that all makes sense. And that's, I mean, it seems like that's what Apple's going to do. But why not just make the stand and then have the attachment point be a MagSafe connector of some sort and make the iPad something that would connect to it? And once it gets connected to this base, it automatically knows. Like, I'm sure there's a way, you know, when you put on a MagSafe case, you get the little silhouette, right? So I'm sure there is a way, without having to put pins on the back in that specific area, that once it gets locked in to this device, it recognizes that it's on it, and then it immediately switches to this new, you know, like what you get with the Google tablets and stuff like that. That it just makes your iPad more versatile, and I feel like people would be willing to spend, maybe not. I mean, this is where everybody else, when you're listening to me, would you rather buy a standalone device? Now, what do we think this one's going to be priced at? The other one was like, the robotic arm one was outrageous. It was like over $1,000. This one like $500. Would you buy the stand for $350 if it didn't come with the display and you had to bring your own iPad to it? Or would you rather buy something for $500-$700 and it comes with the display and you don't have to worry about it?
I'm a little bit conflicted about this. I don't know how I feel because I understand why they wouldn't want to do that. Because what if you've left your iPad in your bedroom and it's not in your kitchen anymore? And the whole idea of having something that you can access at a glance.
Get up and get it.
But then by that point, you can just reach for another one of your devices. So sure. I think that's what Apple would say. But at the same time, I would love to be able to get more use out of my iPad. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have like a desk dock. I mean, at the moment, I have my iPad Pro on my desk in its Magic Keyboard. But I can't really get information at a glance. So does that need to be its own dock? Not really. I suppose I just really want standby mode on the iPad.
True.
Is that the same thing as what a home device is? And I wonder actually if what Apple is going to do here is a little bit like what they did with the HomePod, but in reverse, where you've got the expensive HomePod that initially launched for what, $350?
I think it was like $399, right?
It was something like that. It was expensive for what it was when it launched. But then a few years later, about 4 years later, if I remember rightly, in 2020, we got the HomePod Mini for just $99. Now, the HomePod Mini at that point had, in some respects, better hardware. It couldn't detect what room it was in, or the shape of the room, rather. But the hardware was excellent, and it basically functionally did the same thing. It's just the audio quality wasn't as good. There was no way that the original HomePod was over three times better. I wonder if what they are going to do here is a similar strategy where they are going to introduce a very expensive smart home device, but also a very cheap one. But they are going to learn the lessons from the HomePod, because I think that we would both agree that they should have launched the HomePod Mini first.
Yeah.
At a low price point, got people excited about that. And then you could have had the big HomePod later. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're going to do with this. I think they are going for a low-cost one first to make people engage with HomeOS, get people used to the idea of having this thing around, and get an ecosystem of third-party accessories where you can have it, you know, latched to your wall by your front door to control your security systems and your lights when you come in and out, for your kitchen countertop, for your hallway. In order to do that and encourage people to buy a couple of them and just, you know, have a go with this device that they really don't know if they need, that's got to be $200. It's got to be cheaper than an entry-level iPad. Because if you're not going to run apps on it, you're not going to run games on it, I can't write a document on it, I can't send an email on it.
Yeah, but... Hold on. Real quick. You were right. It was $349 for the original HomePod. But back to this idea of making this that price... does it have to be smaller or less expensive than an entry level iPad? Because
I think it would make sense about what else
you're getting with it, though. Is it not the design that we're thinking, where it's HomePod base and then the display attached to this?
As far as I know, that's not the case. So that is what we were expecting from the more expensive device with a robotic arm.
I just assumed this was like a similar version, just no robotic arm.
I think this lower-end version is just supposed to be a display. Now, whether it has a decent speaker built into it, I don't know.
That's weird.
I suppose what I'm saying is, let's compare to an iPad. Say we take the iPad 10. Mm-hmm. You don't need Apple Pencil support. You don't need a rear camera. You don't need such a high-resolution display. You don't need a USB-C connector. You don't need a battery, because it will be powered all the time. So there is way less hardware in this, and it's way less expensive. And if it does less as well, it should come in at a lower price point, because otherwise people will just say, well, if I've got, I don't know, let's say I've got $400 that I am happy to spend on something this month to treat myself, but I don't own an iPad. Am I going to buy the smart home display, or am I going to buy the iPad? If it is more expensive than the iPad, I am going to go for the iPad. You need to entice customers, and I think that it's got to come in at a low price point. And then that is why later you can say, Apple can say, well, our customers have been enjoying the home accessory for 18 months now, and now we have the next evolution of that. We have Home Accessory Max with a robotic arm and this incredible speaker, and it's the equivalent of a HomePod and an Apple TV, and it's got this incredible camera in it as well for FaceTime calls, and it follows you around the room. And okay, it's $1,000, but you know how good Home OS is, and you know what Apple Intelligence is capable of doing in the home, because they've proven the case, rather than just coming out with this weird device that... Mm-hmm. No one will really be able to understand at $1,000 right away.
Now, this changes some perspective for me, since I got a little confused, because it's not clear. I mean, this is what happens with rumors. It's like, we don't have definitive. So I was just envisioning a cheaper, less fancy version of like a rounder base and then some sort of arm to levitate it up a little bit, and then a squarish display that wouldn't move around and follow you around. It'd be more of a fixed thing. So now you're saying it's more like the Nest Hubs, like a little bit like a square display. It's got to be propped up on some little stand. I'm guessing it'll have a speaker, but nothing crazy in that sense. Mostly focused on just being a display like that. That does make it a little more intriguing to me when you started mentioning accessories and like mounting. Like if you can get something that would integrate into your like wall. And so when you walk in, like you said, you could start controlling stuff and like, and they are cheaper to where you start getting a little bit more put around your house. Like that I would be interested in. What was the, have you ever seen the accessory? It was like a smart home accessory. I think they're called Brilliant, the light switches that have the little like screen built into it. And you can like customize and control different aspects. Like if you've got Hue lights in your house, you know, they don't work with switches well. You kind of don't want to touch them. But you come in and you have a normal light switch on this, but also there's a screen next to it, and you can tap your thermostat. You can touch into the Hue lights and turn on. Like, it's a cool concept. There's something like that where I can have all of my home app devices there. I can see the cameras as I'm leaving, like security system stuff. Okay. I see where this fits into like the mold of the accessories and the lineup. I still want that one that sits on your countertop that's moving around and robotic, and that'd be cool.
I think that that will come, especially as we heard the rumors about Apple reevaluating after it canceled its vehicle project, because supposedly it wants to move into robotics. It has been heavily investing in not only in hiring people that work in robotics, but also we've seen its interest in robotics components in the supply chain. And the first product that is supposed to have robotics, actual robotics, is this device. So it should have this pretty crazy robotic arm.
Yeah.
It's just a question of when it comes out. But I think what is pretty clear from all of this is a new imagining of this home category with four devices is growing. And also, we can add to that, we are still expecting a HomePod with a screen. So that actually is a total of five devices. So you will have the HomePod Mini, the standard HomePod, the HomePod Max with a screen on the top. You will have the smart screen home accessory, which is mainly just a screen. And then you will have the high-end home accessory Max with the full speaker system and the robotic arm that follows you around. And
see,
I mean, I don't even know how useful that is, to be honest, but it's
cool.
But
it sounds cool.
I'm sure it will be cool.
So to clarify my position on like having an iPad docked to like now that I've got this like vision cleared up a little bit, I've been talking about mostly that one, the higher end. That's where I think the iPad attaching to this robotic arm and the dock would make the most sense. Like that taking over the iPad. But if Apple's trying to make this new ecosystem or this new like platform for all of these home related devices, it's never going to run. It's not going to do that. We're not going to get an iPad to then turn into this new home OS when you dock it kind of thing. Otherwise I feel like if Apple was in the business of doing that, then they'd put Mac OS on the iPad, right? I mean, they would have just done that.
I think software is also where this gets really interesting because
if
this device was available right now and it just basically ran tvOS, but you could just interact with it with touch, that would not be really very useful.
No.
If I had that, I don't really think I'd use it. I would maybe use it to transfer a FaceTime call from, sometimes I take a call here at my desk and then I walk over to my kitchen over there and I would transfer the call from my Mac to this home accessory. But I can't imagine myself really interacting with it because it just wouldn't be fast enough. Where I think it gets interesting is with Apple Intelligence, because if it can know what I actually want to do at that time of day, or when I walk past the display in the morning and I'm making my breakfast, is it going to display the things that I want to see at that time of day? Mm-hmm. And it wakes up when I walk past it and it knows the order in which I want to see those things. And it's going to present me with options saying, well, normally at this time you set a timer for this, or you normally want to read the news, and it's presenting these options to me and I can just tap into them.
Yeah.
And it's able to tie all this stuff together. So if Apple Intelligence is supposed to be able to look at your calendar and your messages and you've got notification summaries and all of this kind of thing, if I can get a really in-depth morning summary, suddenly that's way more useful. And then the same obviously applies when you go to bed. What if you ultimately have one of these things in your bathroom and you get like an end of day summary for everything? You can look at your schedule for the next day, listen to some music, kind of unwind a little bit. But it's heavily personalized.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, because I was about to say is like, you could do all of that now with an Amazon Echo device that has, like, I think it's the Echo Show that has a screen, Nest Hubs. You can do those now. We have the Nest smart displays throughout our house, and it's different. It depends. We interact with it differently depending on where it is. So in the bedroom, it is quite literally a fancy alarm clock with a photo frame. We barely do anything. Maybe ask the weather as we're getting ready, and that is it. And that would be a great place for one in the bathroom, assuming it doesn't have a camera or anything. One where you can, like, if you walked by it, like you said, it alert, you know, it's in the morning. You usually ask for the weather. So instead of me having to ask, it just says, hey, here's the weather. It pops up. You can have a silent version where it shows you, or you can have one where Siri will read it for you. And then in the kitchen, it's more of like our kids trying to watch, like, hey, you know, play something. I want to see what this looks like, or tell me a joke, or set the timer for this that's in the oven now. And like, it gets a little bit more use. But I don't know how I feel about, because those are tied to your devices, but they're not your iPhone. It's not the same manufacturer as your iPhone, something that has all of your data. So obviously Apple has the advantage, and could also be seen as the disadvantage of, well, it knows you really, really well. So now you're walking in, I'm getting text messages shouted out to everyone in my household. It's like, ooh, yeah, don't know that I want that. Like, what? There's no, like, where's the privacy? So it'd be interesting to see, like, what things you can turn on and off. Like, I don't want it announcing all my notifications or my wife's notifications on a regular basis. There would have to be some sort of, like, feature built in where you can turn all that off, or it's just smart, like, and contextually aware.
It would also be really cool if it could recognize who's using it just ambiently. So it will display different kinds of information depending on who is.
Well, there'd have to be some sort of camera then, though. That's the only thing. And I don't know that Apple would do that.
There's got to be for FaceTime. FaceTime seems like one of the main uses for this sort of device. I can imagine myself using it for FaceTime probably more than anything else.
But this is tricky, though, because has Apple ever done a device that's kind of always on and always looking with a camera that's not like a personal device?
It would be an interesting test.
Because, like, for privacy
it would be an interesting test of not just Apple's commitment to privacy, but also people's actual trust in Apple's commitment to privacy.
Right.
Because personally, if Apple said to me that they are not using that camera for anything other than facial recognition and it's all processed on device by the secure enclave of the A18 chip, I'll believe it, but not everyone will. But then maybe that is where the third party market comes in with a little camera cover that you can just slide over if you really want to. But I would trust Apple. You know, they have such good systems now, like you get that orange dot we've had for several years across all platforms when the camera is being used. And I think people are more trusting now, of knowing when their camera is and is not being used.
Yeah, but my worry goes into, well, someone's hacking into your display, which, I mean, what are the odds that that happens to a random person in the middle of the country? But, like, you can't say never. And my whole thing is like, well, no. Did I leave you?
I'm afraid your screen's gone black.
Yeah, right? Okay. So it's not just me that I don't know what
happened. I can still hear you.
Okay. Well, we're almost at the end here anyway. So as long as you can still hear me, for those who are watching, you're either incredibly excited you don't have to look at me, or you're upset. One of the two. let me wrap up my point, though, is that I always assume that, you know, if somebody can hack into your camera, they probably figure out a way to turn off that light that notifies you. But I don't know if I'm making this up, but I felt like I heard something somewhere where that's not possible. Like, I don't even think.
I think that Apple's OSs are incredibly secure. I'm sure that one day someone will find some exploit to be able to achieve that in a way that is quite bad. But as it stands, if Apple tells me that they're not using my camera, I trust them. And I'll be honest with you, if anyone really wants to access a camera that's like in my home to see what I'm doing, they're really not going to see anything very interesting. I'm not too worried about it.
Sure. I mean, you're just going to see me telling my kids to stop throwing things at each other and, you know, just normal daily stuff. You ain't going to get much, but it's just the creepiness factor. But I would be like you. I would trust that Apple, of all the companies, I would probably trust them the most. But I've got smart displays. They have cameras. The thing with some of them, or most of the ones that I have, there is actually a built-in cover, so I don't even have to worry about it. And I keep it disabled because I don't need it. I'm not making Google Duo calls on my Nest ones. That's not happening. So, but that's just because it's a platform thing. I'd rather much rather be able to do it on something that's Apple-based and like, oh, I've got FaceTime and all my contacts already in there and I don't have to set it up and tell my friends and family to use Google Duo because they're not going to use that. Like, this is perfect. I will definitely use that for a FaceTime call. So I'm excited. I want to know what everybody else thinks about this. And, you know, from all the things that we talked about, is this something that you would spend your money on? Is this something that you would trust in your home from Apple? Hartley, what was your definitive guess on what you think the price point would be for this lower end, lower model?
I think it's just got to be more inexpensive than the 10th generation iPad, which currently is on sale for $349,
okay, like that. So like $250. $250. Like I'd buy a few, honestly. But yeah, would love to hear from you guys in the comments or, you know, via the socials and everything. So let us know and we will catch everybody in the next episode. And hopefully I am no longer in the abyss here of darkness.
Is this what happens when the Browns lose?
Yes, this is where I fall. If you guys want some fun times of me falling apart on Instagram, you can go ahead and follow me there at DanBarbera1. And you'll watch me every Sunday just get really sad. So yeah, catch everybody in the next episode.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh. Spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine. Discounts. Appointments. Online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom. Blocked. No more interruptions. No more stress. Stay connected. Stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.